So to be or not to be, that's the question. We've all heard that phrase, right? Famous, famous phrase. And that's where I want to start today, to be or not to be. Are you being? Are you just being? I don't know. I want you to be intentional and live abundantly. So all of you men in the room and you single people and the young adults are saying, okay, this is Mother's Day. She's going to just talk to moms. Wrong. I am going to talk to moms because I is one and I wear that hat proudly. But I want to talk to everybody in the room about being, living intentionally and living abundantly. The definition of be is to live, to take place, and to occupy a place. Some of us occupy bigger places than others. Some of us occupy round places, square places, all types of places, right? So I'm writing a book. I'm in the process. Been writing for 3 years. Yes, I'm telling the truth, and I'll tell you the story of that towards the end, if Holy Spirit allows. But I'm writing this book, and I wish I had it out there on the product table. But when it comes out in the fall, y'all will have to buy it, okay? Remember that. I'm going to read a certain portion of the book, and then we'll go from there. How-to books are bestsellers. Everyone wants a quick fix. How can I get rich? How can I lose weight? Anybody want those books? I buy those all the time. Still not working. Be successful, change the world, and the list goes on. However, there are some areas in our life that require a process. Being a mom and not losing your identity would be a process. I want to clarify, like I said earlier, if you haven't given birth, you're not currently raising children, or if you're of the male gender, don't take a back seat and say, okay, she's not going to talk to me because I am. Today is Mother's Day all over the world. I think it's a national holiday. I just assume if it's here in America, everybody celebrates it. Who knows? But it's Mother's Day, right? Happy Mother's Day. It is one of my favorite days. I love Mother's Day because I love having breakfast cooked for me. Christian is known for his homemade crepes. I love those gifts. In fact, I have closets full of gifts, those handmade cards, the ones with their handprints. You know, Christian's 22, and I have his little tiny handprint still stuck on my refrigerator. You know, things like that. All those little handmade gifts tug on my heartstrings. I have closets of them, and don't touch my closets. Just don't mess with them. I don't care if they're stuffed up there for years, Mr. Holmes. Don't go in those closets. And our guests, there's no place for you to hang your clothes, so figure it out. But you're not touching all those gifts that my kids made for me, Marcella. Those are just precious and dear to my heart. Can't put a price tag on those. However, when I go see Jesus, that'll probably be the first thing my kids pitch, because we tell Brian's mom all the time, listen, all that stuff you got, we don't want it, and it's out the door. It's sad, but at the end of the day, nobody wants our stuff, do they? Wearing the title of mom or any other titles, be it attorney, event coordinator, teacher, lawyer, whatever, performer, those are all titles and those are all things we do. However, it's not necessarily our identity. Oftentimes, young moms are so consumed with being mommy, they lose sight of who they really are. Why are we created? Mom is a role that we play in life. However, here's your challenge today. It's not your only purpose. It's not our only purpose. That's the problem. We play the role of mom and or grandma. I'll just talk to some grandmas here today. And we give 100% not focusing on anything else. I gave my life to my kids. My mom gave her life. Now at 68 years old, what do I do? She still lives her life based out of her kids. That can become almost unhealthy if you live your whole life based on your role as a mom. We wake up one day and they have given us a pink slip. Mine was Mammoth. Mom for hire. Christian had graduated high school and I didn't know what to do. Mom for hire. What are you to do? Mom that needs a place to feel needed. I just want to be needed again. Want me, need me, fulfill that need. Moms longing for the days gone by. Moms that have had regrets. Moms wanting do-overs. Moms for hire. I was that mom. I want to encourage you today, for all of you moms out there, not to be just mom, okay? So that's what we're focused on. How can you live beyond the role of mom? Makes you think, huh? The saying goes, what you don't know won't hurt you. However, I would challenge you today, what you don't know can absolutely cripple you. It can kill you. Had I known what I know now, number one, 22 years later, had I had that how-to book and someone told me what I know now, I wouldn't have a book that I'm writing. That's number one. And I wouldn't have a story to hopefully empower and equip young moms and other people today. My world was based on performance. Okay, I'll just give you a little bit about me. It was all about what you do. A lot of that had to do with the religion we were raised, and that's all my parents knew, so that's all we knew, and do, do, do. Perform, perform, perform. Look this way. Do this a certain way so you get man's approval. I wanted everyone to look at me and say, Sabrina Holmes, she is a good mom. Look at her kids. They are making all the right choices. They're doing everything they should do. Look at Sabrina. Look at Sabrina. Look at Sabrina. It was all pointing back to me. And it makes me feel good and it makes me feel needed. It was all about doing. And so what happens is when it's all focused back on us, and then those kids get raised, they don't look at me anymore. And I need that. I need for people to look at me and to want, and go, wow, she's doing good, she's doing good. And then you're not getting that all the time. And then you wake up and go, oh, wait, who am I? What am I doing? Why am I here? So I had an identity crisis about 3 to 4 years ago. And in your late 40s, that's not really cool to have that. But you hear of people having emotional breakdowns or midlife crisis, and I can understand why. Because I was so engrossed in being mom, 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 pastor, 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 and that was my identity. That's what they knew me. You know, I was Pastor S or Mom. Those were my two names. And those were roles that I was playing. That's not who I was at the core. So I want to give you some keys. Hopefully when you walk out of here today, you're going to go, okay, I know who I am. I'm in a role or season of life, but that's not who I am at the core. So we're going to talk about two moms, not just about this mom here, but we're going to talk about two moms in Scripture. Okay, everybody relax. Smile. It's Mother's Day. Smile. Okay? Two moms that were not given a how-to book. Have you ever thought about Scriptures and all the key players going, they did not have the internet to Google questions? You know, they didn't have those how-to books. So the two moms we're going to talk about today are Sarah and Hagar. No one talks about Hagar. But I think when you leave here, you're going to go, wow, she was an amazing lady. So Sarah is the one that we've heard about since we were little kiddos. You know, that's Abraham's wife. She's the one that was given the promise to birth that child. You know, late 70s, I think, is when it first came about. She heard, okay, you're going to bear a son. And that's not what I would want to hear in my 70s. How about you? Anybody out there? You want to bear a child in your 70s? I don't think so. I don't want to be raising kids in my 70s, right? So that's Sarah. That's what she's known for, that mom having that baby at an old age. Or not old, that sounds negative. At that mature age. I would have literally just said, you know, Abraham, shut me up, shut me in a hole, let me die now. I'm not going to birth that child. And then there's Hagar. She's not on the New York Times bestseller, but she's going to be after today. So let's go to Genesis chapter 15, and we're going to just break that scripture right on down, okay? After these things, chapter 15, verse 1 through 5, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not fear, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. Now, when I read the scriptures, remember I told you I'm a church girl raised in a performance-based religion. So guess what? Being raised that way, I didn't know the life in this book. Because oftentimes we hear them, the pastor speak, and we're just like, okay, if he says it, that's all good. However, the last several years, this book has come to life. So when I read that, the Lord came to Abram in a vision, I'm like, that is so cool. I wish he'd come to me in a vision. Yeah, would that not be awesome? And he sits down and they just talk, don't fear, Abram, I'm your shield, and your reward's going to be great. All right, that's good. God just came and talked to me. And Abram said, oh, Lord God, what will you give me since I am childless? And the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, since you have given no offspring to me, one born in my house is my heir. Then, behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this man is not the heir. But the one that's going to come forth from your own body. So there it is, right there. That's the promise. That's the first time God tells Abram, you're going to have an heir from your own body. Now, look to the stars, and if you can count them, that's how many descendants you're going to have. All those stars, you're not even going to be able to count your descendants. That's amazing. God tells Abram this. He believes it. But there's a small problem. Chapter 16 goes into this problem, 1 through 6. Now Sarai, the mom, comes on the scene, or the wife at this time, and she hasn't given him any children. But she had an Egyptian maid named Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, now behold, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Please go into my maid, and perhaps I'll just have a child through her. That's a problem, folks, because that's just not what you do. You don't look to fix the problem. God's given the word, and now Sarah goes in and says, I'm not having the children. Let me come up with the plan. Maybe, just maybe, perhaps this will work. Problem number two is Abraham listened to her. Men, hear me. You need to listen to us, but you also need to listen to the Heavenly Father, and if he's saying something and your wife's not lining up with the word, then therein lies your problem. But Abraham didn't even question her. He didn't say, well, you know what? God told me this, so let's sit down and let's talk about this. Nope, he listened to her. And second time in Scripture we see this. Who else listened to their wife and jacked up the whole thing, right? Oh, my goodness. So, men, listen to him first. Yes. Okay, that y'all are all clapping for that. And then when your wife may have a plan that doesn't align with what he's told you, now don't get an attitude and don't become like, you know what he said, and that's what we're going to do. No, sit down. Y'all talk about it. Pray together. Yeah, right. But, you know, seek counsel maybe, but don't just listen to her and do what he says, okay? Do what she said. So Abram's wife Sarai took Hagar, the Egyptian maid, and gave her to her husband Abram as his wife. So I always thought, I didn't know they got married. Well, and I was right. They didn't get married. So if you go back to their original interpretation of the scripture, it was more like she gave Hagar, go in there and act like a wife. Do what a wife's supposed to do. So that's a really big problem too. And Abraham went in. Now, she conceived, and guess what happened? The moment she conceived, Hagar despised Sarah. Couldn't stand her. So there's friction in Abraham's house, and rightly so. You know, number one, I just like to put these scriptures in present time in my mind going, okay, I can just see me taking my maid, her name's Elvia, and taking Elvia, and I can't birth a child, so, hey, Brian, here. No. There's a problem there, right? And then poor Hagar, of course she's going to despise Sarah. I don't think I would like her either. And Sarah, in an instant, said, oh, my goodness, may the wrong done me be upon you. I gave my maid into your arms, but when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her sight. May the Lord judge you and me. But then Abraham said back to Sarah, he put it back on her, you do what you need to do. And that's when Sarai got a little bit ugly and started treating Hagar not nice, very rough, very mean. And you can just imagine what was going on between those ladies. It wasn't good. So here's the deal. Sarai tried to insert her plan and fix it. And this is what I want you to focus on right at this moment. It's the big C word. It's called control. And it is a problem. I struggle with it every single day. And I would be lying if I told you I didn't. And you do too. And if you say you don't, then you're lying. Because we all want to make things happen our way. You know, Pastor Brian said we've been married 28 years, and I still don't have him fixed. I still don't have him doing things the way I think they should be done. Yeah, can I get an amen? Absolutely, right. Control. It's the thing that we want to be free of until. Oh, yeah, I want to give up control. Yes, Jesus, I trust you, I trust you. No, you don't, because it ain't going the way we think it should go, right? So there are three keys to breaking free of chains of control. That's what we're going to talk. That's the first part we're going to talk to you about. Breaking control. And these are the three things I want you to remember. The first one is trust. Trust. Oh, Lord, I trust you. I trust you with Brian. I trust you with Christian. Trust you with Abigail. Wait, let me help you. Because you need my help, God. They're not doing what I think they should do. They're not making the choices I think they should make. And that was Sarai's problem. God, you said that Abraham, we were going to have a child, but let me help you. Let me send in Hagar and let me form an illegitimate plan. And look at the consequences of illegitimate plans. I have a few of those in my life where I have inserted what I think, my agenda, the way I think it should go, and it backfires on you. And that was Sarai. So we have to trust God with our identity, the identity that he's called us to be, that he's placed on our lives. And the one thing, Sarah, I probably struggled with, and I want you to just think about this and see if Holy Spirit says anything to you on this one. Do you not think that when Sarah walked in and realized what she had done, she had some unforgiveness that she had to work through? And who do you think she needed to forgive? Herself. OMG. She's texting back to whoever back in the day with her little emoji going, oh my goodness, what have I done? I need to forgive myself. I have royally messed this thing up. So there's someone in the house today that needs to forgive yourself. And the first step in forgiving yourself is you place it out there and you acknowledge, I have royally messed this thing up. I have taken control over a situation that I didn't need to control. I could probably write a book just on that, of all the things I've tried to control, and it hasn't worked right. So I just want you to trust Him enough. Trust Him enough to, step number two, release it. So we need to trust, but we need to release. Release that child. Release that job. Release that identity crisis. Release whatever it is that He's calling you to release this morning. Release it and know that He's moving the chess pieces. We were talking in the green room over here in between services, and Diana Jones is here today. The story of Diane is my parents, 40 plus years ago, ran the bus route that her mom and dad got on the bus and came to Brother Shoemake's church in Houston, and they were saved. Now, do you think anyone could orchestrate something like that? Absolutely not. And we oftentimes try to move the chess pieces in our own life to make things happen. And He's saying, let me move you. Let me take this piece and move it here. Let me orchestrate your life. Release it to me. Let me do it. He does such an amazing, amazing job at making it all work together. But moms, we want to take those pieces. We want to make it happen. And it's not always going to look like the way you think it should. So we're going to trust, we're going to release, and then we're going to embrace. Embrace the season that you find yourself in. Seasons of life have so many twists and turns. And I remember it like yesterday when Brian and I were driving to Abilene, Texas, from our home. It was a whopping 2.5 hours away. Dropping our firstborn off to college. Oh, you would have thought he had just died. It was pitiful. I'm embarrassed thinking about it now. I mean, Brian would be driving and he'd start crying. He'd stop crying, then I'd start crying. Back and forth. It was like a cry fest. And Abigail's in the back of the car going, man, this is great. I've got two jacked up parents crying, driving this car. What about me? And she would oftentimes, when we were discussing all this, she'd say, but you still got me. You still got me. And, you know, we did still have her. But we were so consumed with Christian. And that season of life, you know, just couldn't let him go. Oh, my goodness. Seriously? I gained 20 pounds and ate chocolate and hid in the closet. That is embarrassing, folks. That's why I shared this with you for all you moms where your kids are graduating high school, going off to college. Celebrate. Embrace the season. Yes, cry for a day. But beyond that, celebrate the season. Because now it's just me and you, except they've moved back. It didn't last. So we got rid of him and cried and cried and got fat off of chocolate. And then he comes home. And we got to go. Yeah, and we're still crying. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Celebrate where you are and where he's taking you. It's fun. It's exciting. It's a journey. Don't get so stuck in the past that you can't embrace where he's taking you. Guess what, guys? I'm speaking to myself. It's a daily process for me to embrace. Okay, today's a good day. The kids are grown. What do I do? Right? Because that mom hat had consumed me. But I am embracing, and it's sort of fun. This is nice. I don't have to pay for everything. They can actually halfway function on their own. And God, now, what have you called me to be? What have you called me to not do? Remember, we're getting away from performance-based, but be. Who am I to be? So we're trusting, we're letting go, and we're embracing. Now, to continue our little saga in the Old Testament, let's go back to Hagar. So Sarah was a control freak, which most of us deal with, right? That's what we're going to remember Sarah for in this passage. Now Hagar, verse 7 to 16, let's look at her. Her name means to take flight or flee. Verse 7. Now the angel of the Lord found her by the spring of water. She's left because Sarah's being mean to her. On the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, where have you come from and where are you going? And she said, I'm fleeing from the presence of my mistress, Sarai. Then the angel of the Lord said, return to her and submit yourself. I don't like that. Hello, that's not cool, God. Why do you want me to go back to someone who's being mean? I'm just interjecting that because you've got to make the scripture come to life. It's just not something you read. Hagar was a woman. And women don't just, okay, whatever you say. No, she had turmoil going on inside of her. She had to if she was like any other woman, right? Return to your mistress, submit to her. Moreover, I like this part. The angel of the Lord said to her, I will greatly multiply your descendants. They're going to be too many to count. You are with a child, and you're going to have a son. And guess what? You're going to call his name Ishmael. God hears. Because the Lord has given heed to your affliction. So he named her son in the moment. Now, verse 12, I said in first service, I really don't like this verse, but it is in the Bible, so it is truth. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand's going to be against everybody, and everybody's hand's going to be against him, and he's going to live east of all his brothers. For all of you moms who've been given prophetic words about your child, when I was carrying Christian, Pastor Kevin Heron, he prayed over me and was just prophesying about Christian, you know, in our womb. And at the time, we didn't even know we were having a boy. That was really cool. Nowadays, you can see their eyelashes on these sonograms and all the, you know. But 22 years ago, we were like, let's keep it a surprise. So Pastor Kevin is prophesying. Thank God he didn't tell me I was going to have a donkey of a man and a wild child, you know. What mom wants to hear that? So verse 12, we'll just put that to the side. But then she calls on the name of the Lord, and she goes, you are a God who sees. Have I even remained alive here after seeing him? So in an instant, Hagar knew God sees. He knows, and I'm still alive after seeing him. I love that. Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram called him Ishmael. Kicker, verse 16, he is 86 years old. That is not cool, but that is God. Is that not so true? You think you should be birthing it when you're 15 years old and you know everything, or 21, now we're legal, right? And so we think we've got it all together, and God said, nope, not going to birth this plan just yet. Not yet. Abraham, 86 years old, and Ishmael's born. Wow. So Hagar despised the controller. That's who we're going to talk about just a little bit. She despised the controller. She despised the lady who sent her in to Abraham. He was Abram at the time. Y'all, he's old, and she's probably not. So that means he's probably not real handsome anymore. And she's probably drop-dead gorgeous. Can you imagine, for all you young, gorgeous women? I mean, I'm 49, and I wouldn't want to go into an 80-something-year-old man. Ugh. Sorry, no offense, but, you know, 86-year-old men need 83-year-old women, not these young, pretty girls. So she despised Sarah, and rightly so. However, she submitted. She submitted to the authority of God first. And then she submitted to his voice and said, okay, I'll do this. I will bear this illegitimate plan. And because of her submission, his descendants were vast. They're huge. They go all over the world, right? And God gave that illegitimate plan a name. God hears Ishmael. She went to her source in the wilderness, and she knew that she had seen him and he had seen her. Now, 13 years have passed, and that's the one thing about scripture. I wish, oh, how I wish that it gave you all the details, but it doesn't. So, chapter 17, 1 through 20, God comes back to Abraham. Abraham talks about the covenant, and Ishmael is grafted into the covenant through circumcision. Abraham's name is changed. Sarah is blessed. Her name is changed. And again, God says, I'm going to give you a son. And Ishmael is remembered because Abraham interceded and said, God, what about Ishmael? And again, God says, I'm going to bless him. I'm going to bless him. So I want to close with this. I love this part. Genesis 21, 9 through 20. Sarah turns against Hagar. She's birthed Isaac at 90 years old. She's nursing Isaac. She's just so excited and happy, and everything's great. And Ishmael in scripture says he's mocking. So we're not quite for sure mocking. You know, I looked it up. One version said they were playing. I wanted to imagine them playing together. But more than likely, there was some strife going on. Because at that point, Sarah's like, I am done. She is out of here. This distressed Abraham. And God again told Abraham, listen to Sarah, let her do what she needs to do. I am going to take care of Ishmael. So Abraham gets a jug of water and bread and sends them off. Here's Hagar again, and Ishmael's probably quite a bit older. He's probably 16 or 17 at this time, but she's sent into the wilderness. I like to think of her as being the first single mom in Scripture. She's out there on her own with an almost grown son. She didn't ask for this. She didn't want to go into Abraham. That wasn't her plot in life. Oh, let me go, you know, bear this illegitimate plan. It was forced upon her. She had to deal with some major rejection. Major rejection. Here I am being sent back out. But she had submitted, and she had done what God told her to do. So here she is wandering in the wilderness. And when the water was used up, she put the boy to the side and cried out to God and said, God, please don't let me see my child die. This is not how I want it to end. And God shows up. God heard her and said, what is the matter with you, Hagar? And I said, God, hello, you know what's wrong with me. I had to go with Abraham, had to birth this child. Probably didn't get to raise her child, because in those customs, Sarah probably would have been the one raising Ishmael. And now we're stuck out here, God. That's what's the matter with me. I'm on my own. I'm doing this thing on my own. God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water. Because the Lord said, lift up the lad, hold his hand, and trust me. Trust me with this one. I'm going to multiply him. So several times in scripture, Ishmael is given the promise. And she saw the well. The well was her source. That's what she needed in this season of her life. And I want to encourage all of you. Now, this is going towards single moms right now, because I just feel like that's who I'm supposed to speak to right at this moment. I don't relate to a single mom. Been married 28 years. There was seasons in our life when he traveled with Bishop Tudor around the world, I felt like I was single. You know, check in. Okay, you're here. We're still doing. But there's a whole nother level of single moms doing it on your own, carrying everything on your own, financially, emotionally. Hats off to you. But I encourage you to go to the source in that wilderness spot, to the well, and help him or let him be that one for you. Let him give you the words of encouragement. Hagar was a lady of intercession. She trusted her only gift to the Father. And that's what you need to do today. Trust your only gift to the Father. So today we're going to release control. We're going to break free of those that spirit. It's a spirit where we're trying to insert our plan. And so we have to trust him. We have to release. And we have to embrace where he has us. In closing, I want to just share something with you, because you're sitting here going, okay, well, that's great. Be or not to be. What am I supposed to do with that? Well, the role that you're in right now is not necessarily who you are to be. And so after my pink slip was issued to me, I had to wake up and go, why are you here, Sabrina? What has he called you to do? And by me being and walking in my identity, I am doing some things. I am creating a platform. And I'm married to a man who I've said is always about 20 years ahead of me. And I have to stay in shape just to keep up with him. He's a visionary. He's a thinker. He's a dreamer. And, okay, come on, let's do this. And he took me to an event a few years ago. This was right after Christian had graduated. And we're sitting. I'm the only lady. And I thought we were going to celebrate ties that bind and, you know, create a platform for that and spread the word. No, that's not what he had us there for. They looked at me and said, what's your platform? Who's your audience? I said, well, it was Christian and Abigail for about 18 years, and we pastored a church. That's it. That's my audience. And they're like, no. What do you have to say, and what's your thesis? I'm like, thesis? I looked at Brian and said a few things under my breath that I won't say in church. And I'm like, what have you gotten me into? He said, had you known what you were here for, would you have come? I said, absolutely not, dear. But at that moment, I knew I had a choice. I could either be embarrassed or play the game. And I thought, I'm not going to be embarrassed. So let me just play this game with you. And at that season, they ask, you know, they start probing you with questions that make you start thinking. And I realized that my role of mom was shifting. Our role in ministry has totally shifted, and God is just exploding us in areas that we never imagined. Everything about what I thought it should look like, it had imploded on me. And I knew I had to play the game. So I wrote the thesis, and I said to the group of men, I said, well, you know, if I had a do-over in life, it would be to not wake up when my kids are grown and not know who the heck I am. So if I can teach moms and people to find out who they are, and walk in that and not wait until they're almost 50 to figure out what they're here for, then that's what I'm supposed to do. And I'll never forget that guy. And I said, I have a mom in mind. She was my Christian's first babysitter, and now she's pregnant. And if I could tell her, don't get so wrapped up in being in the role of a mom that you wake up 20 years later, you don't know who you are. He looked at me and said, you write that book to Heather. And man, I came back in 5 hours later. Ladies, let me just tell you, I had those men in tears. I had written more than anybody in that room. And that's how my book was birthed. And so I encourage you. Now, I have 2 chapters left. And as we transition, I know that I had to transition through a few more years to be able to finish that book. But I encourage you this morning, what is it that's in you? Why are you here? Is it to create a product? Is it to write a book? Is it to teach to a group of homeless people how you can come up out of it? What is it? All of us have something in us way deep down, but sometimes it's hard to find it because we're so busy playing the role. And I wouldn't trade being a mom for the world. I love it. But they're grown. So do I sit at home and wish that I was still rocking them and nursing them and feeding and cooking? Or do I celebrate where they are, where God's taken them, and the platforms He's built for them? Our kids are going to be so much greater than we ever thought of being. Right? So you trust, you release, you embrace, and you be. To be or not to be. I want to close. That's about the third time. Now I'm taking after my husband. Close, close, close. Take a piece of paper and write down these 3 things. And James, you can come. I want you just to think. Holy Spirit, now you do your work. I've said what you've told me to say. What is it that He's asking you to trust Him with? What is He asking you to release? You may have to trust a job, a kid, a husband, a wife, a relationship. So it's not just about moms here. We're all designed to be. Trust, we're releasing, and we're embracing. What is Holy Spirit telling you? Not what someone's told you. What is He saying? Then after you have that written down, you begin letting Him speak to you. You've written it down. Okay, Holy Spirit, show me, what does that look like? How do I walk this out? Because you wake up, and after you've played a role of something for so long, you have to try to figure out, okay, how do I do this new path? How do I navigate this? And as He begins speaking and releasing, then you rest. For all those moms here that are exhausted, you know, you're like, do I have to change one more diaper? Do I have to cook one more meal? Do I have one more taxi run? And so to you, rest may look like sleeping in till 8 o'clock in the morning. And that's all good, but I want you to rest in the assurance that He has you. Rest in that. Rest in the word that He's giving you to trust, release, and embrace. Rest in that. Okay, I got this. And if you're like me, it's almost a daily thing. Here, God, I give you this. Wait, let me take it back. Let me work it. Nope. Okay, I'll give it back to you. And it's this tug of war. But when we totally release it, and then I embrace this season. It's going to be a lot of fun. My book just may be on the New York Times bestseller. You never know. Right? So rest in that. Whatever He's telling you, write it down. And then I'm going to just pray this scripture over you. Psalm 16, 5 through 11. The Lord is my portion. He's enough of my inheritance and my cup. Your support. You support my lot, my destiny. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me. I will bless the Lord who has counseled me. Indeed, my mind, the seat of my emotions, disciplines and instructs me in the night. I have set the Lord continually before me. That's a good thing to set before you. He is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. My heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh will also dwell securely. That's an added bonus. You have not abandoned my soul, nor will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay. You make known the path. He is the one that's going to make known your path. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand there's pleasure forevermore. Let's all stand.